You're listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Todd and his three sons, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to all of our friends, family, and our foes to the Fox Den Sports Podcast. I'm Todd Fox, and with my two oldest sons, Kellen and Garrett. Gannon is at Grandma's right now. He got back in town last week, and he's at Grandma's putting some things together for Grandma. But Kellen, you were here last week, and you're already back. It's amazing how much time flies. That was already a week ago, which is absolutely ridiculous. Too quick. Way too quick. And some good old Thanksgiving family time. A little bonding. But today's our 104th episode, and we got a lot of stuff to kind of get into. Lots happened since Oklahoma's 69-45 victory over the TCU Horned Frogs on this past Black Friday is what it was, the Black Friday football game. First reactions on that game. What do you guys have to say about the game as a whole?
Stellar play by the offense outside of the one turnover, but other than that, production was great from rushing, offensively, I mean, both sides. But the defense, I mean, just struggled, and that's, I think we've been seeing that for the last, since the Texas game, really, going back to last year's kind of culture of just not making tackles, not covering the gaps, letting people just blow right past you. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But one thing I was right about last week was taking Gavin Freeman off of the punt returning. Proved again that he should not be back there at all. And then where I was wrong was I thought we were going to run the ball a lot more than we did. Granted, we still ran it a lot, but I thought it was going to be honestly 75% rushing, 25% passing because of Gabriel's condition. But I guess it just wasn't as serious as we thought necessarily, or maybe the media portrayed, but that's kind of my thoughts.
Yeah, what about you? What do you think?
Sorry. I thought it was a good game. I mean, yeah, the defense struggled a bit, but it was nice to see our offense take charge finally. It was a nice send-off game for Gabriel and Stoops. Both had some pretty big games. I mean, special teams is still just pathetic, but it's the end of the season at this point. Doesn't matter. Just something we can improve on. Something we know we need to and can improve on for next year. So, I mean, it was enjoyable. It was like, the thing is, if you would have told us at the beginning of the year that this is our record, I think we all would have been really excited. We just got super excited. The more we were rolling, and we were probably climbing the rankings a little too quickly. And it just, so we all kind of drank the Kool-Aid. We could be a top 10. I think we're a top 10 caliber team, maybe even top 5, honestly. But we lost a couple bad games, and here we are.
Yeah, I think, if you had told us earlier in the year, 10-2, after last season, I probably would have taken it and said, yeah, I'll take that. But I can tell you, like, from, you know, when I was growing up in the 80s, and that was a time frame where, like, 10-2 was like, there's no way. Like, you didn't want to lose two games. I remember Barry Switzer had a couple of years in a row where he, you know, lost a couple of games. I think actually in one year, he actually lost 4 games in one season. People were already wanting to get rid of him, which is ridiculous to say that, but it is what it is. But 10-2, we're going to be going to a bowl game. Most likely it won't be one of the New Year's 6 bowl games. Most likely I'm hearing everything is probably the Alamo Bowl against Arizona. We can get into here shortly, but overall, I mean, yeah, the defense just did not show up. It's almost like they regressed all year long and just kept just seeing it coming and seeing it coming. So I don't know what the answer is there. I do know, I truly believe that once he starts, when I say he, Brent Venables gets some of those players that he's really high on, So those defensive line players, I think that helps out tremendously everywhere. I'm just hoping we have a lot of these guys come back next year. The concern with me is like somebody like a Danny Stutzman, probably, you know, I don't have any clue. I would guess he probably doesn't come back. I think he would be better off coming back, but I just don't know. I don't have a good feeling about it. But anyway, yeah, we gave up way too many yards against TCU. Looks like 520 total yards given up to TCU, 344 passing, 176 rushing. And, you know, time of possessions was basically even, honestly, at that point. But it's just frustrating. Frustrating game. I know we scored 69 points, but you don't want to give up 45 points. It was almost like the Sooners of several years ago where you just had to outscore the opponents. And I'm wanting to get to that point where we're not having to worry about that. You always want to score, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying not, you know, having to outscore another team and not getting, 45 points given up. So that's just disappointing.
I don't see any way Stutzman leaves at
really?
All.
I hope not, man.
I think we'll lose everyone. Not everyone. I think we'll lose like Woody Washington, obviously. Most all of our defensive line, which, to be honest with you, they can go. So they put, I don't even know how many sacks. They probably averaged maybe 1.5 a game. Like it was just embarrassing.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
And that's about it. I mean, Reggie Pearson in the backside, probably gone as well. Key Lawrence, maybe. But outside of like key playmakers, Woody Washington's probably the only one.
Is Ethan Downs gone?
Yeah. He'll probably be back.
Probably back, yeah.
I wouldn't even count him as. I mean, I know he was our leading sack this year, or sack guy this year.
Yeah,
but
we need a guy that's double digit, but not even that, but just somebody that can definitely like put major pressure on the quarterback. You may not get, you know, double digit sacks, but you're going to put pressure on the quarterback, and they're trying to get rid of a little bit earlier, mess up some timing, whatever it might be. But I hope you're right. I know. You're talking McCullough. Hopefully he'll have another year, obviously, under his belt with us next year. He's not going anywhere. You're talking about Kip Lewis?
Kip Lewis.
Yeah, he'll be back. Kanick, not sure what will happen with him, whether or not he'll stay in linebacker or what. I don't know. But, I mean, I just think the more reps these guys have and the more understanding, because I got stopped by an athlete at work a few weeks ago, or last week actually, for the game, and he was explaining to me how extensive Venable's playbook is and how hard it is. And you can, if you want to, you can go online and pull up his playbook from Clemson, playbook from whenever he was defense coordinator at Clemson. But he was explaining how tough it is and how many different plays, and if the quarterback does this, running back does this, and there's eight different kind of scenarios that the defense has to play through, and it's just very difficult. And I think he's going to get some of those players that he had, caliber players that he had at Clemson. And once he does that, which I think headed in the right direction, I think we'll be better, and we're not going to have to try to outscore. I mean, obviously, when I say outscore, you know what I mean? Not just having to, oh my goodness, we got to score, even though it is the goal of the game, if that makes any sense. But to your point a minute ago, Gavin Freeman, love the kid. I think you may have said it last week or the week before. Man, he touched, the first time he touched the football for OU, he ran for a touchdown. And then another time he did it, I think it was this past year, maybe one of the first times he touched it, he went for a punt return. And I think he's got so many people like, oh my goodness, this guy's incredible. Ah, and I don't think he's there yet. Can he be there? Possibly, but he's not that guy right now. They tried to do that little, I don't know what you call that play on him, the little reverse minute or whatever, and he never could get that right. I mean, they wanted to, and he's not going to be Drake Stoops, the second coming of him, in my opinion. I think Drake Stoops is a class all on his own, fantastic football player he was. But yeah, we're excited for next season already. SEC, it's going to be tough. I know they've already shown that. I think September 21st is when Tennessee comes here, and then Alabama comes here the Saturday before Thanksgiving, which that'll be interesting. to say the least. At least we kind of have an idea on the date for sure. Got to win both those games next year. It's going to be tough. But I mean, if we could go 10-2 next year with this kind of schedule, would you take it right now? If you were told that you were going to be 10-2?
Oh, 100%. 10-2 in the SEC next year is getting you in the playoffs.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I agree.
I think we go 10-2.
Wow, man, that's going to be tough, I think. It'd be interesting.
I mean, I think the toughest game we have is Alabama.
Well, yeah.
I think we lose one between either Auburn, Mizzou, Tennessee,
and LSU. Texas.
Maybe LSU,
Texas. I mean,
I don't think LSU is going to be that good. So I think between Mizzou and Texas, I think is where we get our other loss, and maybe Alabama. But I don't know. I'm calling it now. Two losses.
Interesting. You got something, Garrett? Look how you're going to say something. Here's my question. Hypothetically, if Dylan Gabriel wanted to come back, what would you feel? What were your feelings be? Because he could for the COVID year. If he wanted to come back, how would you feel?
It's a fabulous question because I don't want to hate on the guy because he did well.
Yeah.
And he was just a couple games away, honestly, from being a Heisman winner. But
sure.
I think I'm in the large sum of OU fans that says you can go ahead and go and Jackson Arnold. We'll watch Jackson Arnold.
I agree. I know.
Only way I would consider it is if I could guarantee Jackson Arnold would still be here next year.
I know.
Then I would think about it. But it'd be tough because it's like
100%.
I would have rather just started Jackson Arnold this year, but like then it's like, okay, maybe we can enter the first year in the SEC a little stronger. But if it cost us Jackson Arnold.
Yeah, I don't want it. Yeah, I don't want it.
I feel like this is kind of like a Bob Stoops retiring a little earlier just so he could pass the torch to Lincoln Riley, like because we didn't want to lose him.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I don't want to lose Jackson Arnold. So, I feel like a player of his caliber does not want to sit 2 years.
No, I agree 100%. I don't know. Like, is there a chance he goes to Mississippi State with Levy? I don't know. There's always always a chance with any of that kind of stuff. But I agree. That's the whole thing comes down to Jackson Arnold. If you could guarantee me that he would stay, maybe. But at the same time, then I still think we're limited. And I'm not hating on him. I love Dylan Gabriel, but I just think he's a little bit more limited. And he doesn't have quite the arm strength, which I think we're going to need. And those little stupid little bubble screens and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's going to be some defenses in the SEC that are going to shut that stuff down pretty quick. So I think Jackson Arnold gives us a perfect segue into the SEC. That's just my opinion. I'm not sure. But that is definitely something to think about. And I know we've only lost at this point. Is it DJ Graham so far? Is that the only one, the one that made the big interception against Nebraska?
Receiver.
Well, the guy that was a four-star hasn't signed. I mean, he just committed to us, right?
No, I know. I was talking about whatever that Spencer Tillman dude said called DJ Graham, our best receiver.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying. Okay, my bad. Yeah, Spencer Tillman.
But no, anyway. Yeah, there's a receiver that decommitted as well, which I don't know if that's what you were talking about.
That's kind of what I'm trying to think of right there. But I mean, we'll see.
Our receiver room is so stacked still. And honestly, that leaves us room to go out and get a couple guys. I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but with A&M, with all their changes.
Oh, dude.
Guys,
if we can land some of those A&M guys and then land the guy at Missouri, which I don't think – you know Venables and those guys are still going to try to get him. But after they had a pretty solid season, I don't know if they could get him.
I mean, they had a better year than we did.
Yeah, they did.
Top 10. So
yeah, they're good. They're good. 100%. I agree.
The only hope really was just if their drink water or whatever went somewhere else, which the only opening that he probably would have gone for was A&M, but that's filled. So,
and then obviously Levy took the head coaching job at Mississippi State, and it was just announced, was it yesterday, that they announced Seth Luttrell and Jojon Finley are going to co-offensive coordinators together, which is – the crazy thing is that wasn't even on my radar. I didn't even think about co's at all. I know we had the co-defensive coordinators whenever Venables and Stoops did it together for years. And then I know Venables, I think, and golly, the guy coached Nebraska, I'm trying to think of his name right now. Bo Pelini did it for a little bit as well together. However, from what it looks like, Luttrell will call the plays, and you start thinking like, okay, well, at first I thought maybe Joe John would go to Mississippi State with Levy, but the thing is Levy's going to call the plays there. And so I'm assuming what'll happen is Luttrell within the next couple of years gets a head coaching job, and then Joe John jumps into the position all by himself. That's just a thought process. I don't know, but you know, my concern with Luttrell, only thing I really was concerned with is I don't know. I have no idea how good a recruiter he is. I don't know the answer to that. I know he's coached at Arizona. He's coached at Indiana with Kevin Wilson, and he coached at North Carolina with Larry Fedora. So he's had some different – and he Texas Tech – or yeah, I guess it was Texas Tech. Luttrell was with Leach. So he's got a lot of good background. So I'm excited with that. I read an article today that just said, like, one thing to sum up is he will – in one word, he'll bring toughness to the team offense, which I like hearing that. I like hearing a little bit of toughness because I think that offensive line, I'm not bagging on them, not bagging on them at all, but I really think that they need to be a little more tougher. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are.
I just think these moves are showing like we're scared. Those are scared promotions because you don't want to lose players you have and you don't want to lose players that you have coming in.
Yeah.
And so they don't even, and like you mentioned, Joe John might have left, which, I mean, who knows? Luttrell might have left as well, because I know he was getting looks at from other places. So I think we were just like, oh,
yeah,
we got to keep these guys. So let's just put them co-office coordinator. I don't know how that's going to work. I have no idea. I've never heard of us or any other team doing that successfully, but I that's kind of my thought process on. I think we'll be fine just from the talent aspect, but I don't like it.
Yeah. And then I saw, I don't know how 100% accurate this is, but I'm seeing reports Emmett Jones was promoted to the associate head coach. Don't really know, you know, what that entails. What were you gonna say?
I looked it up and it says is critically involved in all aspects of the program, is given specific autonomy, shares responsibilities with the head coach in key areas of the program, such as recruiting, coordination of play, stuff like that. So
right.
It sounds like he pretty much promoted everyone on offense to fill a void that Levy left.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, Emmett Jones is easily our best recruiter.
Yeah.
So you have to keep him. Sure. That makes sense. But
I think DeMarco's pretty good too, but I think Emma Jones probably just a little bit better.
True. Right? I would say, I mean, DeMarco's brought in, talent, but Emmett's showing on the field he's making a difference, and also the quantity of players, and they're pretty quality as well. But
oh, yeah. It'll be fun to see again. And then we just got to get I think we got to get some better offensive line play. I think that get that shored up quite a bit, and that'll help alleviate quite a bit of unnecessary pressure that we've been having. We got to get the tight ends fixed, and definitely we got to get that kicking game fixed. Hopefully we'll find somebody in the portal. I was told by an individual we got a pretty good kicker coming in coming up here. I believe it's maybe this next year, but it would be a freshman. I'm not sure. But speaking of kickers, Garrett, we had a question, I think it was last week, didn't we? Like somebody responded to us.
Yeah, from Boomer Sooner 01 said, if the kicker is best in practice, why put in the next? It's a win now situation. So obviously he's referring, I think last week I was kind of, or maybe all of us were, but
we were,
bashing Schmidt because he hasn't done very well.
Crutch.
And why not try another guy? So, I mean, for me, his comment makes sense and kind of goes to DeMarco saying at the beginning of the year, whenever we were just rotating running backs, like he's going to play the guy who's showing up the best in practice. But to a certain point, practice isn't the game. Like I know Venables preaches that you can practice the pressure and everything like that, but it's not the same. It's really not, especially the kicking game. And you don't have a special teams coach. So, like, That guy's probably just off by himself doing who knows what. I mean, I have no idea. Probably not. But
yeah,
you can make still a kick all day in practice with no pressure. But when the game's on the line, it's completely in anything, not even just kicking, but like when something's on the line, it's completely different than practice, like, or a simulation. Like, once you lose that confidence, like, sure, yeah, I don't care who's practicing better. You just got to get somebody else. Like, for all you know, one dude comes in there and drills one, and all of a sudden his confidence skyrockets, and he's the next big thing.
Yeah, I mean,
and starting somebody else wasn't going to do anything, wasn't going to hurt anything. He was already missing kicks. Well, can't get worse than that.
Yeah.
Late game is completely different. I think of, like, I mean, you could be in a basketball game, you could miss all these kick or these baskets, but come down to the last 30 seconds, your team's like, okay, this is still our best guy, most clutch guy. And so make the shot. But it's just
different when you haven't been proven to be a clutch guy.
And yeah, and like you mentioned, like, he has no confidence in his ability to make a big time kick. So why would he?
And you can tell the confidence, you can tell the body language that he's just not confident. And that's the unfortunate thing. And that's where I think he just needed to step aside and let somebody else go out there and try it. It's not a bad question that was given to us, but that's just my thought process, is the fact that we weren't doing well with him. So, I mean, yeah, I guess you could do worse, I guess. I don't have any idea, but I mean, give somebody else a shot and let them see what they can do. And you never, ever know. But I know we do appreciate the comment. We'd like to get more comments in there, and we can read those off the next week. And then, Garrett, you were saying like and share our YouTube video. Is that correct? You were telling me offline, I believe, to like and share it. Like, the more, like, if you're watching it, give us a like. And that way, the more likes we have, the better we help benefits us and helps us get out there in front of a lot more faces in order to grow this podcast. That'd be great. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. But yeah, we've got Oklahoma State and Texas, and regardless of whatever, we had it in our hands. If we would have just beaten Kansas or Oklahoma State, obviously both, but I mean, if we would have just won one of those, we'd be playing in the Big 12 championship game right now. But unfortunately, we are not. So most likely what will happen is, I think Texas will probably beat Oklahoma State. Then you've got Michigan against Iowa. I think this is what the last year I heard that they're going to have conferences in the Big Ten. So that's a good thing, because, I mean, Iowa, I mean, dadgum, guys, you guys stink. They got a good defense, and they can't do anything. So Michigan should win that game. You've got Alabama and Georgia, and then you got Florida State and Louisville. I think Florida State, I don't know about that game. I'm not sure, 100% sure. I think Florida State still might be able to win that, but I don't 100% know. I personally think Oregon's going to knock off Washington. I don't know about you guys. That's kind of what I'm looking at. And I still think Georgia beats Alabama and knocks Alabama out. The big concern is what happens if there's a little bit of chaos. You know, there's a possibility of no SEC going, but I think that'd be interesting, but I think too much has to happen in order for that to transpire. That was a great Alabama finish against Auburn. I know Garrett and I were watching here at the house, and Garrett had the Oklahoma State game on TV against BYU, and I had the Alabama-Auburn game on an iPad. And at the exact same time, Garrett was watching OSU, and I was watching Alabama. At the exact same time that Alabama throws that fourth and goal from the 31 for a touchdown, BYU almost intercepts a pass at the exact same time. We're both like, whoa, you know, and I said, I can't believe they scored. And Garrett's like, huh? And I'm like, well, I thought he was talking about, he was watching Alabama. It was pretty interesting. But Alabama was
like 30 seconds earlier, you'd said Alabama lost.
Yeah, exactly. It was just amazing. Cause I mean, I thought it was over, and I mean, I was all excited for Auburn. And then you didn't have to probably worry about a little bit of craziness going on. But anyway, it is what it is. It's college football. It's fun. And then it goes down to the final week as usual. It'll be interesting to see next year, whenever there's a 12-team playoff, how they'll look at it. I guess teams 13, 14, or 15 will all be crying that they didn't get in, most likely. But,
well, yeah, this, we would have been like, oh, come on, put us in. Like, we would have been one of those teams on the verge this year.
Yeah, 100%. But it is what it is. And I'm looking forward to, I mean, even though I still think the SEC and the Big Ten and even the Big 12, to be honest with you, are too large. I think they're going to be too big. There's going to be a lot of good football to watch next year, every single week. A lot of different good games that are going to be played. And let's be honest, like if you were guessing right now, I mean, how many programs do you think realistically can win the national championship? Realistically, you know, do you think it's 10? Do you think it's 20? What, you know, like realistically have a shot at the championship? I don't know what your guys' thoughts are. I mean, just shooting it off the top of my head, I'm probably thinking maybe 15, if that, but realistically have a shot to win the national title.
This year?
No, next year. I'm saying like with a 12-team playoff, you know what I mean? Like when you, because you're getting these conferences.
I'd say 10.
Yeah, you're going to have mega conferences. Some of these teams stink that are even in those conferences. I mean, you're going to still have the ACC and you have the Big 12. But think about the Big 12. They're going to be good at basketball, really good at basketball for sure. And then I'm looking forward to seeing how Utah does when they come in. I think Utah will be pretty good in that league. That'll be fun to see for sure. Prime time comes. But Colorado's lost a lot of commitments and the coaches leaving. And so that's going to be interesting to see how they all recover from that.
Everything I'm looking at still has us projected in the Alamo Bowl against Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona.
Which would be the most boring bowl game I've probably lived through. Like, I mean, come on.
I know, but I'm just telling
Arizona.
I think they're going to be better.
That's a joke.
I think they're better than what you think, and I think they could give us a tough game. I truly do. You don't think
no,
so?
No. I can see that game going like 45 to 20.
I don't know. Our defense, the way they're playing, I don't know.
But you get Venables really multiple know. Weeks and well, going I mean, back to last year, right. Which, I mean, the worst team we've seen in forever competed with the team that's about to be in the playoffs. So,
no, you're right. I mean, we did really well against Florida State. We could have easily won. I shouldn't say
should even. Have.
We could have won that game. Yeah, we could have won that football game. And then that's for sure something to think about. Do you think Florida State deserves to be, if they win in the playoff with their quarterback being out, their main guy, or do you think it should take an Alabama, Texas, you know, over them if it happened?
I mean, you'd have to do say Washington wins, say Georgia wins, say they win, and say Michigan wins. That's the four you have to do.
Yeah.
It just gets interesting whenever there's a couple of one-loss teams that should also maybe be in there.
I truly think Oregon's going to win. I really do. I think Michigan's going to stomp all over Iowa. Georgia-Alabama is always a good game, but I still think Georgia squeaks it out. Kellen, what do people think saying in Georgia right now? You got some buddies up there, down there, or over there, whatever it is?
Anybody who's a Georgia fan says they're winning. Anybody who's not a Georgia fan says Alabama's going to win. So
yeah, 100%.
I think Georgia wins. Like,
yeah, I do too.
Alabama got on a hot streak, but Georgia's still been, I don't know. I think Georgia wins. It's hard to say. I mean, I think it'll be a good game. It's always a good game, and Alabama was one game away from being undefeated, and they lost against a top 10 team, and that's the only. So it's like,
yeah, but also they just barely beat Auburn, and Alabama or something.
That's
like
my
that.
Big
South
thoughts.
Florida,
is like
so.
Y'all barely on a miracle play did you beat Auburn? So like.
They haven't been very convincing in a lot of their games.
No, they haven't.
But
I mean, sometimes you find a way to win. It's kind of like the Eagles. Like, they give you a scare every week, and they find a way.
I mean, the year Georgia won their first chip a couple years ago, that Bama team was stacked, and Georgia still figured out a way. Granted, they had a lot of injuries, Bama did, with the receivers and such, but... Yeah, like, I mean, you never know. These two teams easily some of the best. That'll be the best game.
It's gonna be fun to watch. It always is. It's gonna be fun to watch. I just if Oklahoma State could pull off an upset, that'd be pretty funny because I don't want Texas to go, just being honest with you. So
I don't like part of me wants one of the teams that left the Big 12 to win because it's just funny to me.
I want that to be us and it can't happen. So I just don't want Texas. I don't want any kind of them to be throwing it in any
because keep
place.
In mind, yeah, keep in mind that's the team we still have to compete with.
Yes, that's the main reason why.
Yeah, but
yes,
then it's
Oklahoma
like, oh,
State fans we live close to, and they're annoying as ever. But like, we're on the field,
yeah,
and like you said, in the recruiting, that's what matters.
Exactly, 100%. I agree. Well, time's about up. We appreciate all of our listeners taking time out of their day to listen to our Fox 10 Sports podcast. Hopefully, we got some good points across to you. Please, like we said earlier, like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Make some comments. We'll like to get those over the air. The more that's happened, the better off it is for us to help grow this podcast. But I always want to remind everybody that iron sharpens iron.
Please stay safe.
Be savage and not average.
And remember to join the skulk. And until next time, goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Boomer.
Center.
You've been listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast with Todd, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon. Find us on Facebook at Fox Den Sports. That's Fox with two X's. Drop us an email at foxdensports@yahoo.com. And be sure to share this podcast with other sports fans in your life. This has been Fox Den Sports.